Well, good morning, everybody. There's a couple of things that I do want to go over with you. Number one, we have our annual men's conference is coming up in September. Everybody say September. September. Good job. You guys said September really well. I'm from the South, so I get tongue-tied a lot. As a matter of fact, last Sunday I was one of the things about my boys is that if I goof up during my sermon, they're the first ones to tell me about it. All right. So last Sunday, I'm preaching along, and it's toward the end of my sermon, and I start stumbling over every word. And there was like two or three sentences where I'm stumbling over every word, and in my head I'm going, stop. Stop, Jimmy. Any preachers in the house, you know what I'm talking about? It's in your head. You know you're fumbling over your words, but you just keep on. And in my head I'm saying, stop. Just stop. And then I think Joshua said, hey, good stutter fest, Dad. That was awesome. I'm like, wow, I'm going to beat you when I get home. So it's just one of those things. So, but anyway, so our men's conference is coming up, and our district has given me the honor of running the entire event this year. Not only this year, but hopefully if it goes well, I'm going to be doing it indefinitely. And it's an honor and a privilege to do it every single year in September. And this year, it's coming up quickly. And so what we're going to do is on the 6th and the 13th of August, we're going to have sign-ups right here at the church. So we're going to go into the office. We're going to have the administrative assistant in there, and she's going to be online signing you up as a group. And we're so excited about it. Again, this year, I'm running it along with a few other guys from our district and from this church as well. Usually, last year we had 515 men show up. So it's a powerful, powerful men's event. Guys come from all over the state to be a part of it. And I want all the guys here to consider coming this year. If you've never come, gone to the Stronger's Men's Conference, I'm going to dog you every single day until you come, all right? That's just the way it is. That's how strong I feel about the conference coming up, all right? So it's going to be powerful. It's going to be amazing. Also, listen, guys, we're doing all kinds of evangelism here at New Freedom. We do this all the time. And if you've never done an outreach with us, this coming Saturday would be an opportunity for you to get your feet wet in ministering and being a blessing to our community. You should see the people come in to the free car wash. They'll come in and they'll roll down their window. The last one we did a few weeks ago, a guy rolled down his window and he said, what's the catch? What's the catch? I'm like, there's no catch. I said, it's free. And it gives us an opportunity to talk about salvation, an opportunity to talk about the love of God. And we say this. We say it's completely free. This is our way of showing the love of Christ in a practical way by washing your car. And some people get emotional about it. Some people want to give us money and we refuse it. And we just ask that that they come and check the church out or not at all. We just want to be a blessing to our community. Also, the City on the Hill thing is coming up as well. It's a powerful event. Also, we've got Kids Camp that is coming up. And what we are doing, because Elena stepped down as our children's pastor, we've been working from behind. How many of you guys ever worked from behind before? It's not fun. And so this year, we normally do fundraisers and so forth, but due to Elena being gone to college, we haven't had the chance to do that. So what we're going to do next week is we're going to take up a special offering just for our kids, for Kids Camp. We've got about eight or nine kids that are going. And so I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to speak to you about what to give for Kids Camp next week in our special offering, okay? Listen, all the stuff that we are doing is online, in your bulletin, on the boards. If you're not informed, whose fault is it? It's your own fault, right? It's your own fault for not being informed. So read the bulletins, all right? Get involved. Come on out, sign up for the car wash next Saturday. All right, it's going to be amazing. All right, turn with me in your Bibles or on your smartphones or your iPads to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Kids Church, You guys can go on. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Now, we've been in a whole series about revival. And we've been talking about revival for about 4 weeks now. We're in our fifth week. And we've been talking about a revival of the holiness and the vastness of God. We've been talking about a holiness or a revival in worship, a revival in prayer. And today we're going to be talking about a revival of purpose. How many of you guys have ever felt lost before? Two. Man, the rest of you, you're going to have to tell me how you do that. You're going to tell me how you lay out that close, clear roadmap. But today we're going to be talking about a revival of purpose. All right, so let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says this, "For we are God's workmanship." Everybody say workmanship. "Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the high privilege of standing behind this desk preaching your word. And I ask today that you would anoint each and every soul that is in this room to receive your word today. I pray, Father, that it falls on fertile ground, that their hearts and their minds and their spirits are ready to receive your word that brings revelation and life and purpose. And so today, Father, I thank you for the anointing on me to preach your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Scripture says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." First thing, you are not a mistake. Your life is not by happenstance. Everything that God does is deliberate, on purpose, and has a direction. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship." Let's look at that word workmanship. Workmanship means that it was deliberate. It was measured precisely. It was done with excellence. I've been in the construction background for many years, and painting and doing contracting and all that stuff, and I've been around shoddy workmanship. I've had to paint walls that were crooked. I've had to paint rooms that were out of square, which is no big deal, but you can see it. You can see that these spec homes that they build in a week are not square. They're not sound. We know that in 10 years, much of the house is going to need a ton of repair. We used to do a lot of government work, and they would throw up those houses in 2 weeks. And you could tell that not everything was done with precision. Not everything was done precisely. And the workmanship was put on the back burner to profit. And here the Bible says that we are God's workmanship. We are his muse. We are his masterpiece. We have every line of our life has been thought through, has been measured out multiple times. Everything about us is precise and deliberate. Even the things that you do not like about yourself, God has implanted in you that opportunity for you to grow and to give him glory. See, even in the things that we don't think is that special, you know, that box that we keep and we label it not special, not important, and we put it in the back part of our lives so nobody else will see it in hopes that nobody asks about it. God says, "I am precise. You are my workmanship. Everything about you is deliberate. Everything about your life I have thought through." It says, "You are created in Christ Jesus to do good works." Scripture says that as believers, we are salt and light, right? Salt has a purpose. It brings out the flavor in food, right? The Bible says if salt loses its saltiness, it's not good for anything except for trampling under our feet. We know that light dispels darkness. It has a purpose. It illuminates everything around us. It creates a sure path forward. And so we understand that we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, not just contribute, but to sacrificially live our lives like I talked about last week. It's time that some of us stop contributing to life and stop living and start living sacrificially in our lives, because your life was meant to do good works. If you read on, it says this: created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What does that mean? God had forethought in your life. He precisely lined out your life and numbered your days. Even the hair on your head is numbered. There's not one thing that God left to chance in your life. On the assembly line, how many of you guys have seen that old, what's the redheaded, Lucille Ball show? You guys seen when she's on the assembly line and got behind in the assembly line, so she's stuffing her mouth with the cookies? That's not how God is when he is making humanity. You didn't just slip by and all of a sudden he threw you together and passed you on. You were precisely, deliberately, and purposefully made. There's not one thing about your life that God did not implant himself. Because you are his workmanship. You are his masterpiece, his muse. And not only does he say he is pleased with your life, but he shows you off like a proud papa does. He shows you off. He puts you on display. And where we get in trouble is when we begin to doubt that we were ever meant to be on the face of the earth. We allow our circumstances to dictate our worth. We allow our past struggles to dictate our joy. We let all of these things dictate who we are. That's why we need the Word of God. That's why we need Ephesians 2:10 that says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Many people will go their entire lives without knowing their purpose. Well, I've got news for you this morning. God has a purpose for your life, and it is not a secret. It is not some mystery behind closed doors that you get to figure out in your early 40s or late 30s. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and you can find out today what that is. You no longer have to be aimless. You no longer have to go walking in the dark by yourself, directionless. God has a plan for your life. Amen? Now, I want you to follow along as I read God's heart over you. I'm going to go through Scripture, and it's going to be up on the board for you. Proverbs 20, verse 5, it says this: "The purpose of a man's heart is like deep water, but a man with understanding will draw it out." Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Jeremiah 1:5 says, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart." God didn't just all of a sudden make mass humanity. He had a hand in developing you individually. When he made you, he looked at it and he said, "That is good." He didn't look at you and go, "Not sure." God created you, and it pleased his heart. The Bible says again in Jeremiah 1:5, I love the last part of this: "Before you were born, I set you apart." That means you are a treasure. Joshua, when he was little, he loved collecting rocks. Everywhere he went, he picked up rocks, and it was awesome. It was beautiful. And I even built a little shelf for him so he could display the rocks that he set apart that he really liked. He had a box full of them, still does. But this, he's got some displayed on his wall, the ones that he really liked the best. He set them apart. And that's what the Heavenly Father has done for you. Each and every one of you has a shelf all by yourself that the Father in heaven has set you apart and put you on display and said, that is good. This is my workmanship. I have set them apart. I have numbered their days. They have a purpose in this life, and it pleases my heart. How many of you guys love to hear your father, your earthly father, say, I love you, I'm proud of you? Give you a hug and embrace you. Show you his sign of approval by hugging you, by showing affection to you, by spending time with you, by speaking into your life. That's what our Heavenly Father does for us. He puts us on display and says, that is good. That pleases my heart. All of these scriptures that I just read for you scream purpose, direction, and appointment. God doesn't do anything by chance. How you got here is not your concern. What you do with your life and time you've been given is solely up to you. How you got here, whether it was by quote-unquote mistake, whether it was deliberate, whether you've been adopted, whether you've been cast aside by your family, all of that doesn't matter because it wasn't up to you from the beginning. But what matters right here, what matters right now, what matters in this moment is what you do with your life that counts. You want to start the road to purpose. You want to start the road to appointment. You need to start right now by yielding your life to the Lord and say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Amen? It's time that a lot of Christians stop wandering in the desert. That land in between, that land that we don't know what to do with, that is uncomfortable, that's not familiar, that's filled with disappointment, discouragement, complaining, and murmuring. That land in between that we don't know what's going to happen. It's time that believers come out of that land and into their appointed time. Knowing that how you got here is not your concern. What you do with the life and time you've been given is your concern. Let me ask you a few questions this morning. You don't have to answer them out loud, but just internally. Does God have a purpose for everybody? Does God want you to know what that purpose is? And does God want you to know exactly what it is? The answer to all these questions, obviously, is yes. It's yes. He wants you to know what your purpose is. He wants you to walk in direction and appointment. The scripture tells us that it is appointed not only for man to die once and then to judgment, but scripture also tells us that there is a time for living. There is a time for dying. There is a time for laughter. There is a time for moment or for mourning. And our time for purpose is right here and right now at New Freedom Church. You're not here by accident. You're not here because some family member drug you out of bed. You're here because you have been appointed to be here at this moment to listen to the Word of God concerning your purpose. Purpose is a big deal for me. You guys know my story. I didn't grow up with privilege. I didn't grow up with my parents having a lot of money. We grew up in homes where we could see the chickens through the floorboards. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe that's a Southern term. Did I just lose half of you? I try to leave Southernisms out of my sermons, but sometimes I can't help it. It just comes right out. It means that you live in a shack, all right? It means that it's drafty in your house, all right? I didn't know I was poor until I was in middle school. Then I saw Nikes for the first time. I saw Guess jeans. How many of you guys remember Guess jeans, right? all the teenagers go, I don't know, I have no idea. All right, so it's at that moment I knew I was poor, all right, that the only shoes I got was from Goodwill or from Walmart, those winter choice shoes, all right, and I love my winter choice shoes, but they wore out in about 6 months, so we had to buy a lot of winter's choice shoes. But you know what, I didn't choose to grow up that way. I didn't make those decisions. I grew up where my mother was married four times. I grew up where we bounced around a lot. I grew up when my mother was 16 when she had me, and so we all, me and my brother and my mother, we all grew up together. Only she got the last say, right? She still says that to this day. I get the last say. I said, yes, ma'am, you do. But we don't get to pick and choose what kind of upbringing that we have in life. What we do get to pick and choose is what we do with the life that we have here today. What are you going to do with the struggles that you've been struggling with all of your life as a believer? What are you going to do with how you grew up, with your experiences, whether painful or whether you grew up in privilege, whether you grew up in plenty or whether you grew up in want? We all have struggles in our life. We all have issues in our life. Pain befalls all of us. None of us can escape pain, but what we do with it is all up to us. We serve a God that is mighty, that is powerful, that is limitless by nothing. But he chooses not to intervene until we call upon his name. I don't know about you, but that's some self-control. If I think for one second that my kids need me, and I hear them calling my name in a desperate way, I'm going to my boys. Nobody's going to stop me. I'm going to my boys. And that's the way our Heavenly Father sees us as well. When he sees us and he sees us making those mistakes, he sees us choosing to live in darkness, he sees us choosing to struggle in our own strength, but the moment we call upon the name of the Lord, the moment that we call upon our Heavenly Father, there is nothing in this universe that can stop the hand of God in our life. There's not pain, there's not want, there's not need, there's not any circumstance that our Father in heaven cannot go through in order to get to his kids. Amen? In order to have a revival of purpose, or for some of you here today, maybe it's an awakening of purpose for the first time, you need to know a few things this morning. First of all, you need to know that we are made in God's image. You may ask, what's so big about that? First of all, you need to consider the source. God is perfect, full of purpose in all that he does. He makes nothing, nothing by mistake. I have a friend right now a new friend that I made, and he is a minister in the Assembly of God Fellowship. And he can't talk. Barely he can say a few things. He's confined to a wheelchair, can't walk. And when he goes into restaurants, he tries to eat proper, but he can't. When he eats, he gets food all over himself and all over the table, all over the floor. It gets everywhere. But he is a licensed, ordained minister in the Assembly of God Fellowship, and his sole purpose is to minister to people with special needs and minister to people like us so that we can understand people with special needs better. That's his sole purpose. That's all he wants to do. He is articulate. He is smart. He is brilliant. And when you sit down to talk with him and he types out his heart and his thoughts going around in his head, it is powerful. I'm thinking about having him come in the fall and speak to us on a Sunday morning. But when God created him, he created him with a purpose, and he will tell you, as I'm telling you now, that God created him with a purpose, and that purpose is doing what he is doing right now. He doesn't feel sorry for himself. He doesn't wake up every morning wishing that he was somebody else or that he was normal. He would say that he's normal. There's a man right now also that is a minister. A lot of you guys know him. He comes to church here about once a year, and the reason being is because he's confined to a wheelchair. Right now he's laid up in the nursing home. He's been laid up for 5 months now. 23 hours a day he has to lay in his bed because he has sores. And so now he had surgery, and now he's in a rehab facility, and he's in there for 10 more weeks by himself. But he's not sitting in there feeling sorry for himself. Now, does he struggle? You better believe he struggles. But when I went to see him week before last, he knows, and he said, "Pastor, God has a plan for my struggling, for my suffering. God has a plan. I still believe that I can walk again. I still believe that I serve a God that can raise me up out of this bed right now. I believe that. My faith is not wanting. I'm not suffering because of a lack of faith. I know that God has a plan and a purpose for my life. I want to be around people like that. I want them to rub off on me." Those are people that have come to the realization that they are God's workmanship. That everything about their life is precise and on purpose. Some of you may say, "That's cruel." How is that cruel when it glorifies and lifts up God and draws all people unto himself? Scripture says, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto myself. How do we lift him up? It isn't by preaching sermons. It isn't by teaching Sunday school classes. It isn't by going to Bible studies. It's by realizing that your life has a purpose, that you are God's handiwork, his muse. You are God's workmanship, and everything about your life can bring glory and honor to God. But what we do is we give God our very best part of us, the part that we polished up, and we say, "This is acceptable for you, your use." Since when does a pot tell the potter how to create itself? We need to realize that none of us are exempt from trouble, exempt from hardship, exempt from tough situations where it almost destroys us. Bible says that if the rain falls on the head of the just and the unjust, Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The problem is we only remember the first part of that. In this life you're going to have trouble. Well, great. That's awesome. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. In other words, he is saying, if you will give me the stuff that you can't polish the bad off of. How many of you guys got stuff you can't polish the bad off of? We all got that stuff. If you'll give me that, if you will let down your fear and all of the walls that you have created and give me that stuff that you can't polish clean, I will make a testimony out of your life that will take you places you've never thought of. That I will begin to create inside of your heart a possibility of hope again. But you got to give it to me. You got to give it over to my workmanship. You got to trust my plumb line. You got to trust my measuring rod. You've got to trust my purpose. You got to trust when I cut. You've got to trust whenever I begin to squeeze those things in your life as I put you on my potter's wheel. And as I begin to purposefully craft you into what I want, trust the pressure. Trust the process. Trust my hands. Amen? It's time that we have a revival of purpose and renew our trust in our Heavenly Father, because we know that he makes no mistakes. When God was creating creation at the end of each day, he would take a look at what he had created, and he would say this: it was good. This is good. On the first day, boom, that is good. Second day, he looks at everything, steps back at the end of the day, just like we do. The end of the day, instead of going, whew, glad that's over, the Lord said, that is good. And on that day six, whenever he bent down into the dust and he created us, he created man and in his own image. And the Bible says that he bent down and he breathed his own life into humanity. And then after that day, at the end of the sixth day, he looks at all of that he had done, and he looks at humanity, and he says something just a little bit different. He said, this is very good. Do you understand that God says about your life that it was good, that it is good? There's going to be a lot of not so good things that happen, but at the end of the day, your heavenly Father looks at you and says, what I have done is good. It's very good. We're also made in God's image on purpose. The psalmist wrote, you created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. God made us in his image, and he made us on purpose. God also made us in his image on purpose for a purpose. All of us have experienced a time in our lives when we have asked the hard question, Lord, why am I here? What is it you want me to do? What is my purpose? Lord, what is it you have called me to do? The number one hindrance to purpose is these two words. You ready? I can't. How many of you guys, some point in your life, just said, I can't. I can't do it. I can't. Even before we tried, I can't do it. Right? We get that from a young age. Go clean your room. I can't. I don't want to do it. How many of you guys got small kids? Right? You know what I'm talking about. I can't do it. I can't. I don't know what. I can't. You know? At the end of the day, they can do it. Right? They can do it. But Lord, I can't teach because. Right? Lord, I can't share my faith because. Lord, I can't give because. Lord, I can't do outreach because. We have a whole list of because. We can list them off without even thinking about it. We've got our reasons why we can't do something in our back pocket. We keep them ready, just like our cell phones, right? We keep them ready for use. We know exactly what every excuse is, and we've got one for, as the song says, we got one for every selfish thing we do. Right? The song goes on to say, so what's going on inside me? I despise my own behavior. Right? Sometimes we despise our own behavior because we don't know what we've been placed on this earth to do. And the Father in heaven is screaming from the rooftops, I have a plan for your life. You are my workmanship. You're the apple of my eye. Everything about you was on purpose. I love every fiber of your being. And if you just call on me, I'll create purpose in your life that you can't even imagine. But what happens is we allow the residue of our past to cloud God's purpose for our life. We hear other voices in our head that says, you can't do that. I had a teacher one time. I was in college. First person to go to college in my family. And don't get me wrong, I wasn't born with a Bible in my hand, okay? Everybody thinks pastors are born with Bibles in their hands, all right? I didn't even know what that was until I was like 17, all right? And so I was, I'd seen a teacher at a rodeo that I was at in Tennessee. And I was junior, sophomore, something like that in college. And I came up to her and I said, hey, how you doing? And she looked at me, she got up, and I expected her to hug me and say, hey, Jimmy, it's good to see you. But she looked at me and she goes, well, Jimmy McDonald, my goodness, I thought you'd be in jail. I thought you'd be in jail. Don't you just love those testimonies? Aren't they awesome? Don't they just feed your soul, right? They just feel like, man, thank you so much for speaking into me. That was great. Thank you. Thank you for that gift of feedback. I really appreciate it. Thank you. I know you guys have never had anybody tell you anything damning like that before. Just stop me cold in my tracks. And I said, what do you mean? And she tried to backtrack then, and she goes, well, honey, how you been? What's going on? And I wanted to just, you know, rub my good works in her face, you know. And she said, what's going on? Are you in school? Are you working? What you doing? I go, yeah, I'm in school. I'm going to school to be a pastor, and I'm in my second year of seminary, and all of a sudden you just saw this shame come all over. And I could have just sat and reveled in it and buttoned my suit coat. Thank you, Jesus. Right? But I didn't. I said, I'm in my second year of seminary, and God's really doing some really cool stuff in my life. And I said, it's so good to see you again. I hugged her, and I walked away. We have to get over those events in our life. We have to stop allowing that voice to dictate our joy and our purpose and our life. Will I ever forget it? Absolutely not. Was I mad and devastated when she said it? You better believe it. But I stand up here and make you laugh when I tell the story, because I've allowed God to take that stuff that I couldn't polish and make a testimony out of it. So it no longer dictates me, but I give glory to God, and all men are drawn unto Him because of it. Amen? Are you guys getting what I'm saying this morning? God has a plan for your life, and it's more than what you're doing right now. He is wanting to take you to different heights that you've never been before. So many times you've reached false summits in your life, but God wants to take you to the summit so that you can look out and see that God is good and His hand is on your life purposefully. But there's also another reason that we don't know our purpose and aren't walking in God's best for our life, and it can be summed up in a little phrase too that goes a little bit deeper than I can't, and it's this: I don't want to. Right? I don't want to. I'm comfortable where I'm at. I'm serving in some point. I'm contributing. Come on. I'm contributing. I'm doing good. But when God tells you that I want you to go to a place that is sacrificial, that I want you to give sacrificially, I want you to step out onto uncharted waters, and I want you to step where you can't see your foot stepping, and I want you to trust me. My friend had a shirt one time. He had a shirt. It's what my buddy had a friend who had a friend that did all these shirt making stuff. He had a company, that's what he did. And he came up with all these slogans to put on shirts. And one of the shirts that he said was, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. And you see, that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be right on the edge, ready to jump when He says jump. And not blind faith. Not reckless. But when God tells us to jump, when God tells us to step, He's going to order our steps. He's going to make us walk on sure ground. We need to go from I don't want to Lord, however it pleases your heart, use my life. If you want to use the fact that I was raised in abject poverty, that people spoke negativity over my life, if you want to use that, then I don't know what you're going to do with it, but here's a box of crumbled stuff. Here it is. Dana and I went into an antique store last year, and they had really a lot of cool stuff in there, but one of the things they had was they had these Ziploc bags full of nuts and bolts, buttons, screws, and what did it say on it? It just said cool. Oh, it said cool stuff. And they were selling it for $1 a piece, and people were buying it. And so But that's what sometimes our life feels like. It just feels like a box of misfit toys that belong nowhere except in a garbage heap. Our life feels like it's just a box of misfit nuts and bolts and screws that fit nothing. Guys, you know what I'm talking like. Screws that are flathead. The screws that are flathead are useless. They're from the devil. I hate them. Right? And so that's what we feel like our life is sometimes. So it's a land of misfit toys where we don't fit in at all. But God said, if you'll give me that box, if you'll give me over that thing you can't figure out, I will make it full of purpose. Some of you think that if you just keep your head down and stay quiet and don't make a lot of noise, then life will be okay. But the problem with that is that life will pass you by. Life will be filled with what you can do and what you can get away with. And God has created you for so much more. We try to, in closing, we try to get away with not having failure a part of our life. But you talk to any leader in this room or any leader that leads anything, and they will tell you that failure is part of success. You can't succeed unless you fail. Amen? So embrace failure when you fail. When you fall, pick something up while you're down. Make yourself useful. Ask God to use that painful moment in your life so that it will create a testimony instead of a mess. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? Maybe some of you here today, you've dealt with purpose all your life. Not sure why God allowed these things to happen in your life. Not sure why God allowed people to take advantage of you. Not sure why your marriage is struggling. Not sure why your finances are not where they should be. Not sure about a lot of things in your life. Maybe you've just meandered in life and you're just not quite sure what to do. Today, whether you're just starting out in life, or you're coming to the sunset of your life, God has a purpose for every sunset. God has a purpose for every beginning. And God shows off in the middle. Amen? Will you bow your heads with me this morning? This morning, purpose is a big deal. It's something that we, all of us, have to ask ourselves and figure out in our life. What's your purpose? Where are you going? How are you going to get there? And what's it look like when you get there? All of these things we have to ask ourselves. And today, if you struggle with that, if you still struggle with purpose, you still struggle with hurt, that testimony that I told, I could have allowed that to be pain and to allow it to fester in my life and never heal. But I choose to allow God to use it to bring Himself glory and to others hope. And today, if you don't know your purpose, would you come up right now? Without any fanfare, without any lifting of hands, would you come up now? God, I want to know your purpose. And more importantly, I want to walk in your purpose this morning. Would you come now? Maybe you're here today and you've said, I can't for a long, long time. Or maybe you're one of those that says, I know what my purpose is, but I don't want to. Maybe you've been living in disobedience for a long time and you're ready to fulfill that which God has planted in your life from the very beginning. And you know that this is what God has called you to do. First of all, know this, Ephesians 2:10. For we, let me just personalize this, for you are God's workmanship. You are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. For you to do. Proverbs 25, let these words of truth just wash over your soul. The purpose of a man's heart is like deep waters, but a man with ununderstanding will draw it out. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Jeremiah 1:5 says, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart." Pastor Johnny, would you help me pray as well? Dana, help me. Randy, if you'd help me. We're going to lay our hands on you. We're not going to counsel you. We're going to pray the prayer of faith over you. If you've got something specific, speak it out, and we're going to pray that out. All right, honey, come around the front so that we can pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And as we're praying, I'm going to ask you to stay just for a few more minutes. We've got something exciting we want to announce to the whole church. So if you would you pray as we're praying and say, "God, would you do this? I know what my purpose is, and I'm functioning in it, and I'm going through life, but would you pray this? Lord, would you revive purpose in my life again? Would you give me a heart? Would you set me a fire again for the purpose of God in my life?" Pray that prayer as we're praying over folks this morning. I'm going to read that scripture again. In Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Let us walk about in freedom and in purpose this morning. May God transform our lives and our hearts and our spirit as we move forward with Him. I pray, Father, for those that are not ready to come forward yet, but are willing to listen and obey. I pray, Father, that you would speak over them purpose, that the chains of their past, that the hurt of those many voices would be unchained in their life. May they walk about in freedom and liberty. May that freedom illuminate purpose and revive purpose again in our life. May it guide us for the rest of our days. May we walk about in freedom. May we walk about in purpose. May we walk about in liberty. That it looses our worship. That it sets us in places that we could not have afforded on our own. That it's only by your hand that we stand. It's only by your grace that we can grin. It's only by your grace that we can look back and give God glory for our struggles. And so, Father, thank you for reviving purpose this morning in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Amen. So we've been talking about purpose this morning. If you would you turn the house lights up for me? We've been talking about purpose this morning, and, you know, church is about purpose. Each church is a part of the body of Christ, and each church has a specific part to play. Where churches get in trouble is when we start to copy what other churches do in hopes that it will arouse some kind of a revival of freshness and newness in our church. But we are not guilty of that. We do what God asks us to do, and we bravely go where nobody will go. And willing to go. And today is no different from that. You guys know that in our church, we love to raise people up. When there was a deficit in children's ministry, we raised up Elena Pryor to do the work of the ministry. She did a phenomenal job. And because of that, God awakened inside of her the desire to go back and to go to Bible college to advance her degree. And so we know that part of church comes transition. And all of you guys know that we have partnered with LifeBridge Church to do youth ministry. We've done that for 4 years now. And Pastor Johnny was telling me that we've seen probably around 70 kids or so come to Christ in 4 years, and we've seen 50 baptisms in 4 years of partnership. It's amazing. We have reached kids that can't go to church anywhere else but Wednesday nights at Ignite Youth Ministry. We reach probably between 60 to 70 kids each and every week as a partnership. But in the merger process, God began to stir up some stuff in our leadership and our youth, and we began a separation process. We always knew that it was never going to be an everlasting thing. And so because of that, we are so excited to announce to you today for the very first time that we are starting our own youth group right here at New Freedom Church, and it's called Summit Youth Ministry. That is our logo. That's the name of our new youth ministry that we're going to have right here starting September 13th. And we also have raised up a leader and have been doing that for the last 3.5 years, something like that. And Jordan, we've been raising up Jordan. Pastor Johnny's been speaking into him. Pastor Johnny, would you come on up? And been raising him up. And we are super, super excited about this next direction and what God's going to be doing. So this is a multiplication of ministry. This is not a division. There's nothing that is wrong with our two youth ministries. There's not a complaint or strife or any of that. This is a purposeful multiplication project that has come from a healthy place where we have raised up leaders to do the work of the ministry in our youth. And so, Pastor Johnny, would you share just a little bit about that? And then we're going to have Jordan come up and Jasmine as well and talk about that a little further.
Sure. First off, when we decided, you know, we went into the merger and we decided that it wasn't going to happen. And there are so many things in motion at that moment for us to start our own youth ministry. And one of the really unusual things is we had so many leaders. We had like a dozen leaders. And you know what? And we had the same leaders for like 3 years. Now, I don't know if you've ever been, I've been in youth ministry a long time. That never happens. And the reason why we kind of joined with them is because we didn't have the leaders that we needed, right? And so we're things are in motion, we're going the right way, and we're like, we have a ton of leaders. And every time, you know, Jake and I got together to talk about the future and what we're going to do together, there was just something in me wasn't completely all in with what Jake was doing. I love Jake. Jake is my closest friend. There is absolutely nothing in between us, but every time he decided to make a move, it was like, And then through praying and talking with Jordan and talking to the Lord, I realized the time is now. Mm-hmm. The time is to, you know, to start our own thing, that this is a missional idea. Like, we feel like we can reach more kids, we can multiply, we can start raising up people like you guys that can begin to help in youth ministry, and we can make a huge impact, and the time is now. And you know what? Jordan and Jasmine, they are ready. Mm-hmm. They're ready to do this.
Yep.
So,
and not only that, but we've also raised up a team. So, yeah. You want to talk
about
that?
We have a team that are going to be going with them in youth ministry that we've already been working hard, getting the logo ready, talking about vision, and that's Matt and Lister Clausen are going to be part of our team. So we're very excited about that. So,
Jordan, would you come on up? And the church, please stand. I want you to realize what a monumental moment this is. This is huge. This is what the church is supposed to do. We're supposed to do this. Be a witness, raise up disciples, and send out. That's what we do. For a small church, we have a big vision. We have a big vision because we have a big God. Can I get an amen? Amen. And because of that, God blesses. God is blessing our church. He's raising up new opportunities for us to expand the vision. And Lister and Matt, would you guys come up as well? The other thing, the other transition is kind of already happening now is Pastor Johnny is stepping out of youth ministry and stepping into more an associate role here at the church as well. And, you know, our vision too is church planting. We've already helped plant a church as well. So we've got a vision that we cannot accomplish unless God moves his hand. Amen. I've got a lot of talent. I feel like I've got a lot of ability to do a lot of stuff. But I don't want to do something that I am capable of doing. I want God to have all the credit and get all the glory. Amen? That's what I want. And so here is an opportunity standing before our church to multiply our youth ministry because we've raised up leaders that can lead the kids of this community. Amen? Would you do this? Would you stretch your hands? Actually, would you guys stand right here? And I would love for our church family to come around. And we're going to pray over them, and we're going to bless them. So come on. You guys, come on out of your chairs. Come forward. I'll move the stand here so people can come up behind if you want to. Yeah, come on up. Squeeze in. Let's make it very uncomfortable, all right? Amen. All right. So, hey, if you can't get to them, just put your hand on the back of the person in front of you, and we're going to pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we understand the moment that we are in right now. Father, through the partnership with LifeBridge, we have ministered to hundreds of teenagers, and we have seen so many kids come to Christ, follow through with baptism, and stick around to become young men and women of God. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that as we commission our new youth minister, we ask, Father, that you would open doors, that you would open up this community of teenagers so that we can influence their lives. I thank you for the vision and the purpose of Summit Youth Ministry. And Father, we ask that your hand would be upon Jordan and Jasmine, upon Matt and Lystra, as they lead the teenagers of this community. God, give them open doors in the school system. Give them open doors in broken families. Give them open doors in hardened teenagers' hearts. Give them open doors to brokenness in teenagers. In the name of Jesus, we anoint them to do this task. We anoint them and set them apart as a beacon of light in this community. And we ask, Father, that not only will you bless Summit Youth Ministry, but you would continue to bless Ignite Youth Ministry as well. God, may you continue to increase their influence, continue to increase their capacity to reach teenagers for you. And God, let us do it together, full of purpose, full of vision, full of the anointing and fire of the Holy Spirit to reach this community for you. God, we know that you are bigger than anything we could ever think of. And because of that, we launch out into the deep. And so, Father, we thank you and we praise you, Father, for what you're doing and what you're going to continue to do as we launch Summit Youth Ministry today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God some glory this morning. Amen. We are excited, too, that they're going to be following through, Jordan and even Pastor Johnny. They're going to be going through the DSOM course that is they're going to be licensed through the Assemblies of God. That's going to start this fall as well. So I believe in continued education, so I'm so excited about that. Man, this thing's heavy. So anyway, we're excited about it and want to just ask for you to pray for the efforts continue to pray for that. And listen, on your way out, if you're a visitor here, don't forget to give the info to the lady at the desk, Mary at the info desk, and grab your free gift. And basically, it just has a note in it from me, what we do. It's got a free mug in there and some candy to sweeten you up on the way out, all right? Listen, God bless you. Thank you so much for coming to New Freedom Church. Love you guys. You're dismissed, okay? Enjoy one another's company as you go.